Hello, welcome back to this Microsoft Virtual Academy all about hybrid IT management, specifically focusing in on automation. I'm still Matt McSpirit, and in this module, we're going to be building on what we've learned in the previous couple of modules where we've introduced OMS or Azure Automation, we've shown you how to get started. Now we're going to dive into that little bit more depth on how you actually start to build some of the runbooks that power and provide the automation capabilities for you. And to help us do that, I'm joined by Chris Sanders. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Matt.
Good to have you. And tell us about what you do at Microsoft.
I've been at Microsoft since 2000, and I started out working in Windows Live and then Windows, and now I'm in System Center.
Nice.
And I've been working on Orchestrator, the automation piece in System Center. Mm-hmm. And now we've moved that into the cloud, into Azure Automation, which is what we're going to talk about today.
And the future is the cloud, as you all know. Now, you've done a number of speaking gigs before, so you've been on stage at Ignite, and there's some links in the slides for you as well. If you want to check out Chris's other sessions, he's got loads of, you did one with Scott Hanselman on Channel 9, so loads of cool stuff there as well. Now, let's get into the weeds. Let's start to look at how we build runbooks with PowerShell. Now, loads of you are familiar with PowerShell, obviously, but you may not have used it in this context. So Chris, are we going to look at slides, or are we going to look at demo?
So what I'm going to do today, Matt, is I'm going to give you a demo. We're going to build this one, then we're going to build another one. But the demo today, the starter, is we're going to build a textual runbook, a PowerShell runbook, mm-hmm. and we're going to make one that's actually useful that you could use in your IT processes all the time, which is to send an email using your Outlook.com account.
Cool.
It's a simple little runbook, but it's very useful.
Great. So let's get started. What do we got on the screen here?
What we have on the screen here, Matt, is the new Azure portal. And what we're going to do is we're going to drill into the automation accounts that we have, mm-hmm. Because that's where we're going to build our runbooks, is in the Azure Automation account. I'm going to go in. I have a bunch of accounts here that I use for testing, but I'm going to use this automation test account right here. And the first thing you see when you drill into your automation account is you come to the dashboard where all of the assets and things that you're going to need to actually build a runbook are available for you. Of course, we're going to be working in the runbooks later today, but then at some point, we're going to be looking at the jobs, which is when you actually run a runbook. It turns into a job that you can then look at. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at the assets here, which we're going to look at a credential we're going to use. I just want to point out that also within automation, you can not only do the process automation, which is with runbooks, but you can also do configuration runbooks using desired state configuration.
Yep,
and I think you've already had modules on that.
We've got Joe Levy coming in later today to cover that as well. So yeah.
Right. And another one I just want to point out is hybrid worker groups, mm-hmm. is that Azure Automation can work either in Azure or you can work on-premise. And you can run your runbooks on your own computer in your own data center if you want to. So it's part of our hybrid story.
Nice.
Just point that out.
Yeah, and we've got Ravi talking about that later on as well.
So exactly.
Covering all the bases.
Cover it all.
Yep.
So let me just point out one asset here. In the assets, these are things that you use to complement your runbooks or even to actually build your runbooks. So one is, I just want to point out here, we're going to use a credential today. And one of the credentials we're going to use is this Automation Live credential. So this is my credential for this Automate Everything at Outlook.com Outlook account that I've set up for this demo here. And it's going to contain the credential for the runbook that we're going to create. Other ones that come in are like connections. So if you actually create an automation account today, we automatically build a service principal for you. And we set up this Azure Run As connection. And then when I talk about our graphical runbook, building that in our next module, we'll use this Azure Run As connection to authenticate with Azure,
right,
so we can work against Azure resources.
Nice.
Modules is a hugely important one. These are all the PowerShell modules that are available to your runbooks. There are some that we create for you when you create an automation account. We provide them automatically in the system. For instance, here's most of the Azure modules, and very shortly we're going to have all of the Azure modules by default in here, and we'll keep them updated for you.
Right.
And there's a bunch of the core PowerShell modules as well that are available to you. And one of the promises of Azure Automation is that you can very easily extend it by adding your own modules in that either you create yourself or that you found on the internet. You can import them in. We also have a gallery,
yep,
the PowerShell gallery. So Azure Automation is very extensible. If you want to work against any system out there, there's a PowerShell module for it, and you can import it into Azure Automation and use it to build your runbooks.
Nice. And Beth's going to be talking about the gallery in more depth and showing some of that as well later on. So.
Yep.
All cool stuff.
So let's go back then to our runbook then. And what I want to do is switch very quickly over here to the production account where I already have this runbook created. The runbook we're going to create today sends a simple email through the Outlook.com SMTP server, okay?
Right.
And I'm just going to show you how to build this using the textual authoring tool. So we'll refer back to this as we go along.
Okay.
Let me go back to test here. So the first thing we want to do is we'll go click in here to the runbooks. And you can see there's already a few runbooks here that we're going to use. And also when you first create an automation account, you automatically get a couple of tutorial runbooks. So you don't start with a blank slate in Azure Automation. There's going to be a couple of tutorials here that help you get going.
Right. And there is a good amount of documentation actually on Azure.com as well for people to learn about.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of content. Also, you can see here there's a gallery, which I'll talk about in our next module, mm-hmm. where you can pull in runbooks and modules.
Right.
So let's just add a runbook in this case. We're going to create one. And I'm going to call this I'm going to call it Send Mail Live because we're sending mail through our live account.
Yep.
And the runbook type here, this is interesting. So we have four basic types of runbooks. We have PowerShell runbooks, which is what we're going to create today, which is a PowerShell script, native PowerShell script runbook. We also have graphical runbooks, which I'm going to talk about in our next module, mm-hmm. which are graphical runbooks based on native PowerShell, but you build them in a graphical sense. We also have PowerShell workflow runbooks, which are based on PowerShell workflow. And the reason you'd want to use native PowerShell versus PowerShell workflow, the basic advantage of PowerShell workflow is if you need to checkpoint your runbook for any reason.
Right.
Which would mean that you have a process where you might be reaching out to a system and sometimes it doesn't respond. Mm. And you got to wait for it to respond and you might have to checkpoint your runbook and try again.
Right.
But you want your runbook to start from that checkpoint. That's the reason you do PowerShell workflow. There are some there are some disadvantages to PowerShell workflow. It's a little bit harder to author. Mm. And it also starts up a little bit more slowly because it has to compile itself.
Right.
But overall, we still give you this capability to checkpoint your runbooks if you want to.
Great. Nice.
But we have graphical PowerShell workflow runbooks as well. But we really encourage folks to do most of their authoring within the PowerShell world because it's easier and things start really, really fast. So we'll create a PowerShell type here. This is one where we're going to send a mail using Live. And when click OK, and it's going to now creating the runbook, and it's going to immediately go into the editing phase.
There we go.
So now we're into the authoring pane here, and there's a couple of main parts for the textual authoring. One is that we have a library over here, and over here you can see all the different commandlets that were in your system. So when we went into that modules area of assets, those are all the ones that are showing up here,
right.
And you have now access to all of these to use within your runbook here.
They're grouped by module, essentially.
Right. You have all the Azure. This is all the Azure Classic modules. You have all the Azure RM ones here. And the one we're going to use today is in down this PowerShell utility. And this is where the send mail.
Quite a long list.
It's a very long list. Where is it? Send mail message. Okay. And in this case, if it has multiple parameters set, you'll see that. In this case, there's only one. So we'll right-click on that. We'll say Add to Canvas. And you can see here now that we've added, this is like the core, this is the core commandlet we want to use to be able to send a mail message.
Right.
Now, there's all, what we do here to make it easy for you is we not only put in the commandlet signature, but all of the possible parameters to that as well.
Right.
So we're not going to need all these. So I'm going to delete some of these out of here.
I was going to ask you. You see, that's an incredibly quick way to get started, just by
exactly
into the canvas.
And exactly, it's in there. Now you can just see what's needed. Mm. Okay, right out of the box, and then you can go in and you can just delete the ones that you don't need and keep the ones that you need.
Right.
And I think that we're cool here. So here's this. So I'm going to go back, just instead of typing all the stuff in, I'm going to go back here. And I'm just going to copy this piece here, which I've done this already before. I'll copy this piece in. And then we'll go back. And
this just saves you a bit of time.
This is saving time for this demo here, just to show folks. So there we've cut this down. Now we have the basic message we want to send. But when you're creating this, now you look at this and you go, okay, we have a body. It's going to be the body of the message. Mm-hmm. We need a credential. So we're going to have to authenticate with the live SMTP server.
Yep.
We're going to need a from address. We're also going to need the name of the SMTP server. In this case, it's smtp.live.com. You can find this on the internet.
Yep.
There's examples out there about how to send emails to.
So you've hard-coded that one, though, rather than it being a variable like.
Exactly. So that's part of the thinking right now is we're going to determine what's hard-coded and what's going to be a parameter that we're going to need to put in.
Nice.
A subject and a to address. And this use SSL is there because we need it. SMTP.lib.com requires it to be through SSL.
Right.
So you can see here we're going to need a credential. And there's going to be some things that, if we're creating this runbook to be used as part of another runbook, you're going to send an email. You're always going to have a different body. You're going to have a different subject. And you're going to send it to different folks, right? So the core parameters, we're going to have our body, to, and the subject.
So an example would be perhaps you have an automation runbook that creates a VM. And at the end of that runbook triggers this runbook to email the author of that VM to tell them it's completed.
Totally, that's
something
it.
Like that. And
exactly.
The details and the subject and everything and the body of the message are related to the fact they've just created a VM.
So. That's a really good use case for this because you're running these runbooks to do some automation task, and then you want to get notification afterwards that it's been done or you want to see the status of it.
Right.
You can use this to send yourself an email saying, hey, this is done and here was the results from that.
Great, okay, cool.
So we're going to need a couple of things here. One is we're going to need to set up some parameters. Okay, and so this is the core way you start setting up parameter sets in here. And another is we're going to need a credential in here, right? So you notice here that, so this is an example of how the this authoring tool is useful. Is there is some limited IntelliSense in this tool. It basically remembers all of the different strings that are in the canvas set right now. Mm-hmm. So if I just hit enter right now, then I get that cred just like that. So one of the things we're going to do for this credential here now is I'm going to go back here and I'm going to pull the credential from the library. So again, we have this library and it has commandlets. It has other runbooks. If I wanted to use a runbook in here, I could pull one of these other runbooks in and use it in here if it made sense. And using runbooks and creating smaller runbooks is a great way to modularize during authoring. If you have code that is being reused, just like when you're coding anything, you want to modularize it. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of the send mail one, is that every time you send an email in a runbook, you don't want to rewrite that code, so you want to modularize it.
Yeah,
and that's where runbooks really get useful.
And easier to maintain if they're smaller. Rather than a 1,000-line runbook, you've got lots of 30-40-line runbooks that are related.
And you've created it, you've tested it, it works, you just set it aside, now you can just use it.
Nice.
So another very useful aspect of the authoring pane here is that we have access to all the assets in the system that you can pull in commandlets that will get those assets for you. You can get variables that might be in your system. You can get connections. You can get these credentials, and you can pull in certificates. In our case, we want to pull in some credentials, and we're going to use this Automation Live credential right here. So you can see what it's done here is it's used this commandlet right here called get automation PS credential, and the name of it is Automation Live credential. So it's basically already set this up to pull in that credential. We're going to set it to the cred variable here, and then we're going to be able to use it down here. We're going to pass it directly as the credential to send mail message, and we're also going to use the cred.username, which is a property. So the credential has a username and a password in it, and the password is encrypted, and the from, we're going to just say where it's from this cred.username. It could be from someone else if you wanted to.
So in advance, ahead of time, you've set up this credential, this Automation Live credential, and you've actually hard-coded the credentials in there. So it's almost like an account that you could then give to people who don't have perhaps as much privilege, and they could use it without needing to know the specifics of the credential. Is that right?
Exactly. That's one of the let me go back here. I meant to talk about that before. Let me go back and talk about these that credential just for a second. We'll go back into assets. We'll go into the credentials here. Someone else could have set this up.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be the person who created the runbook. It could have been someone with admin privileges. And then in here, you can see that it has a username and it has a password in it, all right? So this is automate everything at outlook.com. I created this for this demo. I set up a password and I created this credential for it.
Right.
So then when this gets passed to the runbook, it's going to have a username and it's going to have a password as part of it. So it's going to be a full PowerShell credential when it gets into the runbook.
You could share that with your users who need not specifically the details of the credential, but the actual asset.
That's right.
Yep.
So go back and keep editing this. You can see that runbook is in a new state. That's because we just created it. It's never been published. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of this log in Azure is one that's been published before, but now it's in an edit state. So it just kind of shows you there what the state is. Let's go back to edit this again. So we've got almost all of it going here. We've got the credential coming in. We've got the core commandlet to send the mail message. Now we need to set up some parameters. We're going to need the body. We're going to need the subject. And we're going to need who we're sending it to. Let's go back here again so I don't type all this in again. Okay. And I can show you what we're doing.
So again, just saving a little bit of time.
Saving a little bit of time here. I mean, this actually doesn't take very long at all to type this in. But here we've set up the parameters. And this, again, is PowerShell. This is the way you set up parameters in a PowerShell script. Mm-hmm. Here we have, we use the param statement. And then we set up, first one is a string type, and it's the to address. And we're at the top here, we're just setting that it's a mandatory.
Yeah.
By default, if you just didn't include this at all, by default, parameters in PowerShell are optional.
Right.
But by adding this in, you have set it to be true. That means whoever uses this runbook has to set this.
Yeah.
So we have the to address, we have the subject, and we have the body. Okay, and they're all strings.
Yep.
And so now we're all set to go. So let's go and we'll save this like this. And at this point, the runbook is being saved, but it's being saved into a session, but it's not being published yet. So it's not out there so it can be run in production. Mm-hmm. It's just been saved locally so that if you happen to go away, it's 5 o'clock, your day's over, you want to close out your session, come back, you can then come back and start editing your runbook again.
So I had a quick question with regards to the authoring tool. Is it a recommendation to start from scratch or write by default in the authoring tool, or could you use your PowerShell ISE locally to write it and then just copy and paste it in? Is that a valid option?
Yeah, I mean, with textual native PowerShell runbooks like this, a lot of people write directly in their PowerShell ISE.
Right.
And in fact, we have a plugin. Our team has a plugin you can get on the internet. Mm-hmm. If you search for Azure Automation PowerShell ISE plugin,
catchy.
Then you will be able to install that.
Yep.
And you can do your authoring right in the PowerShell ISE if you want
right.
to.
That's if you prefer.
And so it really depends. A lot of people do that, and then they'll just do touch-ups mm-hmm. here in our web-based tool.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So let's go into the test pane here. So this is another aspect of our tool here. We have a full test pane. And here we can put the to address. And again, this is automate. So automate everything at outlook.com.
Is it looking for a well-formed email address? If you just put Matt in there, it wouldn't work?
We don't have where you can put rules yet on parameters.
Right.
But right now it's just looking for a string.
Right, okay.
And it's not even going to, if you put in an integer in there or some other, it won't catch it right now, but it will catch when you actually try to run it. That's
right.
When you would fail.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just call this a hello. Hello world, okay. And we'll start this. And what's happening at this point is that the runbook is being queued up. And the way that jobs are queued, even test jobs are queued to run in the runbook workers we have. When it says queued here, that means that it's been put into the database and it's waiting to be picked up by a runbook worker.
Right.
So when you run these in Azure, we have a whole pool of runbook workers. Each one of them gets used and spun up for you individually. So this is part of the tenant isolation that keeps runbooks and all of your information separate from everybody else who's using Azure Automation.
I see.
So here we've gone from queued to starting. You notice the starting was extremely quick, and now it's running. So it's running through. It's pulling in the input parameters. It's going to get the credential. And then it's going to pass that credential information to the send mail. And then at the end of this, it will... at this point, it will. When it ends, it will have sent the email.
Yeah, and I think this test capability is incredibly important. It's something similar we've got with Azure Site Recovery to test failover, for instance. Testing your runbooks is incredibly important to make sure that they function as expected and that they work effectively.
Exactly, and the typical case is that you're testing, you make some more changes, you test. In this case here, we've had we had most of it created ahead of time, but most runbooks are more complex. And you'll test each piece as you go. So let me go quickly over here to see if that worked. It hasn't shown up yet. I guess I can refresh this. There it is. So there's our email that we just sent. I just want to just show one little piece here. So if we go back to the one that was already created, notice in here I put in these write verboses. So if you want to help yourself with troubleshooting or getting more information about the as the runbook is working, we suggest you use write verbose. Now, a lot of people will use output, write output to just give themselves messages that come out of the pure output.
When the script is running,
right. If you want to see what the progress is, you know, we're at this command, we're at this one. We suggest that you use write verbose because we want output to be objects that are used to be passed to the next runbook. Mm. And as you think more about runbooks being used inside runbooks, then you're going to depend on the output of one runbook for another one.
Yeah.
And you want the output to be something useful, not just some descriptive message about it. So we suggest using write verbose. And what will happen here is that these messages will come out. As you run your test, you'll see those messages come out to you.
Right.
So let me now publish this. So we've tested it locally. We're going to publish it now. And I want to show you one other thing I'm going to set up on this. We send mail live. I'm going to go into the settings here.
So when you say publish, does that mean that other people can now use it? Because prior to that, it was just restricted to you because you were editing and working on it.
Exactly. So if it wasn't published, then you could only run it in the test mode.
Right.
It's only available to the person who's testing it.
Right.
And then once you put it into publish mode, then it's available to everyone else who can use that automation account.
Right.
They can either run it by itself, they can run it in another runbook, they can hook it up to a schedule, you can run it on a schedule, you can hook it up to something called a webhook,
right.
Which is a URL which will start that runbook from some other system. But then it's available. Another thing that's to remember is that once you have it in a published mode here, so now it's published, if I go back into edit, let me just scroll back here a second. Notice that now it says in edit. In edit means that there is a published version and there's the edited version.
Right.
So even as I'm editing this and making changes to it, that published version can be running. And it's running with the previous version that was published.
I see.
And then if I finish my changes here and then publish it, then it will become the official published version.
Nice.
So let's just do one more thing here. We'll go to start. So we have, since we published it, now I can go to start. This is a full normal start. Auto.
So this time we're going to run it for real. So we're not in test mode. We're in actual.
Yep.
Published. Mode.
So now automate everything at outlook.com. The subject is this is from a live test.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to run this. And while this is running, I just want to go here for a second and point out this logging and tracing part of the settings. One of the things that you can do in here is you can, by default, those verbose records, progress records. So when a PowerShell runbook runs, it puts out various streams. There's the output stream, but it also puts out some useful streams like the verbose stream, where you can put information that you want to send out to the records. It also logs the progress streams, which is basically an automatic login of every single commandlet that you have here. But you know, if you want to write these verbose records, you want these as part of your logging, you can just turn that on. This tracing down here we'll talk about when we get to graphical runbooks. If we turned on verbose tracing, and I'm going to go back and start this again because I want verbose tracing on.
So that's something that would come through on the email itself, or is that something that you would access within the system here?
That's going to be accessed within the system.
Right.
So only the subject and body. Will
be in the email, essentially.
Yeah, will be in the email. But what we'll see here, so now we're into the job view. So now we've created a job. This is our job dashboard. You can see it's telling you now that the job is running. Mm-hmm. There's lots of other info you can get here. Eventually, when you can see if there's any errors that are going to happen, you can see if there's any warnings. You can go and see what the input was, and you can see what the input was to this. You can see what the output was. This job doesn't have any output. but it has verbose logs. And so you can go in here, you can see these verbose logs that came out.
Right.
So if you're in a production system and you want to be able to track what your runbooks are doing, then you can write these verbose logs out. You can come into here and you can see what's going on. Say, a runbook failed for some reason. Mm. This is the one good way to help you troubleshoot.
Great, good advice.
And so with that, if we go back here to our, you can see we've gotten all these nice mails that have been delivered to us. They could be delivering information about this automation we created and mm-hmm. what was the status of it. And so that completes our demo.
Nice, excellent. So that brings us to the end of exploring how we, in a textual manner, create runbooks. And the nice thing about that is Chris took you from nothing, essentially, and starting to reuse code, which is a good best practice, is to reuse from the gallery and from existing runbooks and the PowerShell modules and so on, to build your runbooks that are specific to your environment. And we took you from having nothing to a runbook that actually provides some useful functionality. So great work. Thanks for that. Please stick with us in the next module, because we're going to look at a more graphical approach to building those runbooks. So make sure you join us then. Thanks.
Thank you.